Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our show. John, I'm sure you're old enough to remember Lincoln's birthday. My goodness, that's where we're at. It's February 12th, 2024. I am especially fond of the day because I grew up in the land of Lincoln in Chicago, and I think it may still be like a state holiday in Illinois. But there were a couple of hallmark days. We had, of course, the 12th, and then the 22nd, Washington's birthday. But long gone now, as we do a President's Day, which is coming up next Monday. We're in our 14th year with our radio project, our 36th year now in Tucson Media, coming to you from the Bustos Media Campus, where we've got five radio stations under one roof. This is 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, Tucson's only source for local news and talk, KVOI. And we have our worldwide live listening, and the content is all archived for you. Pretty much every show we've done since January of 2011 on my website at buckmastershow.com. For our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Monday, we start the show with the Monday One-on-One presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, the art that Moe produces some fabulous photography. Picture framing, hanging services, that means if you don't want to put the work, Moe will frame it. And if you don't want to put it up yourself, get up on a ladder perhaps, Moe will do that. He makes house calls. They're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. I was by there actually Saturday, had some items to be framed, and I noticed one of their neighbors is now Monsoon Chocolate. And there were a lot of people there. So that little center with Copenhagen has really been revitalized and is doing very well. The one-on-one today is with Barbara Coffey. Barbara serves as the Director of Economic Incentives for the City of Tucson. She's responsible for the city's economic development strategy, and that includes local business retention, expansion programs, business attraction, small business and entrepreneurial development and business ombudsman activity. In other words, Barbara, you're very busy. Great to see you. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks very much for the invitation. The work does keep me busy,
but yeah,
that's because we're busy in the community.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
And your division is also responsible for annexations and economic development and workforce grants program. We'll be talking all about that. You've had quite a career before starting with the city in February of 2019. So you kind of came on board right before the pandemic.
I did. Yeah. And I'm celebrating 5 years this month.
That's right. So five years.
It's a milestone, and it has been a whirlwind with the pandemic right in the middle of it. I was really lucky to have a good 1 year ahead of that, so that I had plenty of relationships to support me. We made it through, and we've been actually growing. Our department has grown since that time, and I think largely because of the work that we started out of the pandemic with our small business program in particular.
Barbara Coffey was Director of Economic Development and Tourism in the very fast-growing city of Henderson, Nevada, just south of Las Vegas, where she was leading the strategic recruitments of companies. Well, the big one was getting the Raiders, the Oakland Raiders, to come to Las Vegas. And, of course, then the building of the stadium where the Super Bowl was last night. When you think back on those days, a lot of that experience probably helps you here in Tucson, because getting the Raiders was a collaborative issue. Your business is very collaborative, or it should be anyway, shouldn't it, Barbara?
It is. It is. We don't do economic development all by ourselves, and certainly not in a silo. We have lots of partners to make that happen. And as you said, we have to collaborate with the state, with the region, with our county, and our local communities, not only Tucson, but our surrounding municipalities. It's important that we that we're in alignment so that when we are attracting industry, you know, people don't know political boundaries. They don't know where the economics of things start and stop. And so it needs to be coordinated, and we need to work together for the best outcomes.
And you've had some pretty good outcomes, I would say. I was looking at your review for 2023. You had American Battery Factory. That's that group that's going to be a big job producer. And again, that was a collaborative effort, beginning with the state and then the local level.
It absolutely was. And it is a big project announcement, and it's moving forward. And it couldn't have happened without our partners at the Arizona Commerce Authority, but also without Pima County. Pima County had the land. They moved very swiftly in order to secure a land purchase and sale agreement for the project to move forward. And so now we are supporting that. We want to see those jobs created, and we're expecting about 1,000 jobs at build out. I think they'll come in tranches of 300 jobs as the project opens up. And the battery manufacturing sector is bringing us a lot of attention. So the fact that American Battery Factory made the announcement and chose Tucson, I think, is really good for us.
It is good for us also with our supply chain issues, because being close to Mexico with the rail, you've got Home Depot, and that was another win for you guys. And all this, the warehousing, if folks have been out by the airport lately, it seems like some of these warehouses are absolutely huge.
We were excited to see new development, Lincoln Properties, Flint, Van Trust. All of these developers have come in since the time that I was with you last and added new product, and that's a really good thing. Schnitzer Properties is among that as well. What that means is we can be competitive when industries are looking to open up. It's a shorter time to open their doors when they have available space, and when it's new space, it has all the bells and whistles that industry needs. Example, MicroStar Logistics, $70 million investment announced last year, about 240 jobs. And they are a unique group out of Denver. They remanufacture, in a way, stainless steel kegs for the distillation industries, microbrewery and all of that.
What?
So, yeah, put those kegs back to use instead of putting them in a landfill. So there's a lot of new interesting industries at work out there.
Another one that caught my eye is Arizona AZ Stitch Lab. This has to do with industrial sewing.
It does. And I'm really appreciative of our friends at Moonshot, the nonprofit arm that helps stand up the Workforce Accelerator for industrial sewing. And of course, Sonoran Stitch Factory, where it's housed. A very great example of how partners have come together and figured out a solution. We had a business right there on Rialto in north of downtown that needed to scale up and couldn't find the talent that she needed. And so the solution was, how do we train them in-house, but not just for the one business, for all the businesses that might need industrial sewing throughout the community. So the city supported for 2 years the stand-up of that program, and we've trained about 180 graduates.
Wow. And you think about it, a lot of these materials, say you're sitting on an airline seat, a lot of that stuff's got to be sewn together.
It does. And you mentioned that, and Bombardier was one that has certainly had a desire to find good talent and was able to hire. But others that make case goods for hospitality and even apparel making. But there's a variety of sewing mechanisms that we don't think about that are sort of deep inside some of these other industries.
When someone looks at Tucson, how does that process begin? Do they call your office, or how does it work? Or are there a variety of modalities of figuring out what eventually would be a company moving here?
The prospects come from all over, and we certainly do a lot of proactive marketing to make that happen. All of us do, as we mentioned. The state is doing its part, the region and our cities. So we're no different. We want to make sure our website has the information they need, because most of it is done online before we ever see them in person. So we need that good information there. We need to be telling our stories and sharing the successes. but also pointing them to the incentives and what can help them be successful here and how we can be a part of that. And so so we do some marketing. We do some national ad campaigns. We do some social media, as much of that, to garner earned media as well with our press releases. So I would say that the more we talk about Tucson, the better off we are.
Incentives are still a big part of your business.
We are fortunate to have a local financial incentive program here at the City of Tucson. Mayor and Council have supported that for many, many years. Our primary jobs incentive is the program we talk about the most when we are looking at attracting high-wage industries and capital investment of $5 million and a job creation threshold of about 25 jobs. Is what's important in terms of our ability to then pass back something of the construction sales tax that is generated by those large capital investment projects. So that's the tool we have to work with. State statute doesn't give us too many options, but the construction sales tax is one piece.
Not as many options as some states. I think Nevada may even be more favorable, right?
You know, I definitely
think
from
your days there,
our states to the east of us are probably the most aggressive.
Texas, your home state,
yes,
is aggressive.
And, you know,
New Mexico, certainly with their film industry, they've been incredibly successful.
Yes, they draw their share.
Yeah.
And so we compete in that set, right? And it's important for us to then try to get noticed, right, when everyone's stacking us up, when the site selectors are looking at the things that their clients may need. We want to be able to check every box on that list. Mm-hmm. So we certainly try to do that.
We'll talk a little bit more with Barbara Coffey when we continue with our one-on-one about checking those boxes. What are some of the areas that potential economy or folks that would potentially move here? What will check all the boxes for the City of Tucson? Barbara Coffey is the director of the City of Tucson Office of Economic Initiatives. It's our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We want to talk a little bit about one of our great sponsors. They're all great sponsors. I would not have a sponsor that I did not personally endorse, and one of them is Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. Exciting things up at Mona's. They now have a liquor license, so you can do a mimosa, the champagne and orange juice with your breakfast. You could have a beer with your lunch. They're open at 6:30 Tuesday through Sunday. They take a well-deserved day off today. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. More on our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing with Tucson economic developer Barbara Coffey right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Whether you've considered an all-inclusive luxury cruise, an expedition adventure, or a relaxing river cruise, come to Bon Voyage Travel's annual showcase on March 3rd at the Hilton El Conquistador. Presentations will be offered throughout the day to provide you a chance to hear more about these travel brands and their exciting offers. Bill Buckmaster and I will be teaming up to present the travel trends of 2024. Visit bvtravel.com for more information on Bon Voyage Travel's free showcase on March 3rd.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, My air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this February 12th, Lincoln's birthday. Barbara Coffey is with us. She is our Monday one-on-one guest, our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. And we're talking with Barbara about economic development. Barbara is the City of Tucson Office of Economic Incentive. Initiatives. Incentives, that could possibly be in your title.
It's all rolled in together.
It's all rolled in together and trying to make this a better place because businesses come here and they bring jobs and it all works. And we were talking about a business, what checks the boxes for them. Why don't we talk about some of those areas? What would check the boxes for most companies?
Well, one of the first things that a company is looking for is the workforce, and mm-hmm. so you can't open a facility and get your work done without the people to do it.
There's no labor; you're not going to move to Tucson.
It's not going to happen, yeah. Right? So we like to talk about what we have here, and without our institutions like Pima Community College and the University of Arizona, and even our K-12. We don't have a workforce without all of them, right? So we work closely with them to support their efforts to identify, again, key industry sectors that will emerge or strengthen here and that maybe we can adapt programming for. And so when you think about, as we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. American Battery Factory, they're working hand in hand with Pima Community College right now in advance of opening a facility so that they can create a customized curriculum and take advantage of the new space that actually Pima Community College downtown has built with their Advanced Manufacturing Center. They will be able to train people ahead of opening the doors, and that's pretty phenomenal.
I like that about Pima. They just are so collaborative. They want to work with new companies coming to town, and they want to develop curriculum around jobs.
Yes. I think it's about being flexible, which is interesting because it's in the name of their new lab inside that advanced manufacturing facility. They call it the FIT Lab, the Flexible Industrial Training. But it fits the purpose, too, because mm-hmm. if you think about it, you don't always have a curriculum in school that is going to turn out the exact proprietary type of work you're going to do on exactly. the equipment that is set up in the facility. So the fact that they can be nimble and help us train to that, that's what a company is looking for. So that definitely checks the box.
How about small businesses? What can you do to help them here in town?
That's an area where we have grown exponentially in the last 2 years. We have seen the stand-up of our Small Business Navigator program, and really upon the heels of the pandemic and including some additional funding from ARPA, the American Rescue Plan Act, we were able to hire a program manager and three small business navigators, and we did that intentionally with language in mind because we knew that one of our target audiences, especially, again, coming out of the pandemic, our minority, our women-owned, our veteran-owned businesses, many of whom, which are bilingual or maybe even monolingual Spanish-speaking for us here in Tucson in particular. So it was important for us to be able to build relationships in that way so that the technical assistance really meant something. And I think, you know, I'm proud to say we've met with over 720 businesses last year alone, helped $1.2 million in capital access from some of those businesses looking for financing that basically they couldn't find before. And then that represents more than 1,400 hours of training. And I mentioned that bilingual, but 72% of that training was taught in Spanish. So it was very important for us to reach an audience we had not been reaching before, just to increase the resiliency of our small business and our local economy.
How does that work? A small business comes to you. Is there a charge to the business?
No. As a city program, our services are free. Our technical assistance is free. But what we like to do is, again, bring more expertise to bear. So if we set up a food incubator, Sazón Empresarial is an example of the food incubator accelerator program that we have conducted at least twice now, two or three times now in Tucson. We bring in the experts around. So if there are legal matters, if there are nutritional matters, if there's, you know, the taxes and accounting matters, we bring those experts to wrap around the training and make sure that those small businesses can be successful in each of those areas. They may be very passionate about making salsa or, you know, doing what they do, but they may not have all those other pieces covered. And that's what we're there to do, is to help shore them up.
Well, that's a great service. And if someone's interested, they can just contact your office?
Yes, and our website is connecttucson.com.
Connecttucson.com.
Makes it very easy.
Yep.
So we'll put you in touch with what you need. Everybody's going to be different, right? Everyone is trying to solve for something else, and we want to just hear about that and see how we can help.
The gem shows, I mean, we have a history now of over a half a century of Tucson being kind of the center of the universe for the gem shows in February. But this is turning out to be almost a year-round deal, isn't it?
It's amazing the growth that I've heard about in my short time here, but also even just the investment in new facilities, more permanent year-round facilities on the part of some of the show operators. They are seeing Tucson as the best location for a gem and mineral and fossil showcase, right? They see Tucson as the place where people will buy and where people will share and grow and expand in that industry sector. And so I'm amazed every day to, you know, when I look at the economic impact and it says $130 million annually, that makes it our single most significant economic impact to Tucson each year. So it's something we should pay a little more attention to. I'm excited about that because I'm getting to know more of the owner operators, and definitely want to support the growth. If there's going to be additional shows in the fall, which you're starting to see, September shows that complement what happens here in January, February, then that's a good thing. That just means more revenue to our community, more visitor expenditure. And I think we like that moniker of being the world's best place for gem, mineral, and fossil.
So you guys hear, I'm sure, from a lot of the gem show operators, and they give you feedback on how to make the show a better show next year.
They do. It's important for us to listen to what their needs are, what their concerns are, and try to ease that path or smooth that way. We may not be able to solve for everything. We have a very, I think, eclectic show, right? It's all over the city and shows up in many different ways. But I think that people are comfortable with that. And again, that gives us space that we're not locked into one location. We're all over the city. But how can we maybe brand or market it better? How can we bring people together and make it even better?
Did you want to say anything about small businesses, loans to the small businesses before we go?
Yeah, that's a great program. In partnership with our Tucson Industrial Development Authority, we've launched the Avanza Empowerment Center. And the Tucson IDA manages what we call the Avanza Loan Fund, which does something different, Bill. It actually looks at what we call character-based lending as a strategy for lending for those financial loans that maybe someone is new to even having a bank account.
Character-based.
Character-based. So there may not be 3 years of small business history that, mm-hmm. that usually the SBA would require, right.
right?
There may be something more unique. So you're looking at their expertise, but also, you know, their capacity, their ability, their ability to repay, and you're structuring something that fits, that's right-sized for that small business owner.
Because so many of them might be eliminated because they'd have no work history or long loan history or whatever that traditionally a bank would look at.
Right. Remember, we talked about checking boxes.
Yeah.
Well, the banks check a lot of boxes.
Right.
And if you can't get your boxes checked,
sure.
you're going to get the thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah.
And so it's time for us to try something new, and I would say it's been very successful.
Again, that website is connecttucson.com, and that is the website for the City of Tucson Economic Initiatives. Any final quick thoughts, Barbara, before we say goodbye?
You know, we have, for nonprofits that might be listening, our economic and workforce development grants. The applications are due March 8th. This is for anyone looking at, has workforce development programs for at-risk adults or at-risk youth. We also take special events applications. So again, at that website, you'll find that information, and we hope you'll apply.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Barbara Coffey. Thanks, Barbara, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, Barbara Coffey, our Monday one-on-one guest, our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, right next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Coming up next, Monica Dangler, who is the CEO, director of the Pima Animal Care Center. They've got the Pets on Parade coming up, a big event. We'll find out what's going on over at PAC after we take a mid-show break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this February 12th, Lincoln's birthday. Green Things and Zocalo Village have the naming rights. I'm glad they do, to our studio here at KVOI. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Perfect time of year now that this rainy spell looks like, looking at the 10-day forecast, looks pretty darn good. So this is now, if you've been waiting, well, wait till the rains are over. Good time to go over to Green Things and get your spring gardening underway. GreenThingsAZ.com and their sister business, ZocaloVillage.com. Zocalo Village for all that wonderful imported items, beautiful pottery, some great Talavera pottery, on and on. All right, and our live line for our telephone interview is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We are not using the live line right now. We are in studio with Monica Dangler. Monica is the director of the Pima Animal Care Center, and we always welcome her back to the show. We're a big supporter here on the Buckmaster Show of Monica and all of your fine people that work there. Hey, Monica, how are you?
Amazing. Thanks for having me today.
Let's talk about, first of all, something very positive. That's the pet parade. That's coming up. Then is Tucson Subaru still title sponsor?
Yep. So it's okay. The Tucson Subaru Pets of Pima Parade.
Uh-huh. So what's going on and when is it?
Oh, it's this Sunday, okay. February 18th from 10 to 2. It's down on Historic 4th. Mm-hmm. It is going to be a blast. If you haven't been before, you got to go. And you can participate in multiple ways. You can sign up and walk in the parade, and it's not just for dogs. Mm-hmm. You can bring your pig, your turkey, your bearded dragon.
Or your cat.
Your cat.
You holding your cat in your arms, because I don't know how some cats would feel about the parade, but you never know.
I've got a backpack that's see-through, and I brought my cat a couple years ago. She didn't enjoy it as much as I did, but no. It was enjoyable. But yeah, you can come walk in the parade. All funds raised from this benefits our nonprofit partner, Friends of PAC, mm-hmm. and that helps support all of that life-saving medical work we do in our clinic, as well as our pet support center with helping people keep their pets.
It's a very robust organization, Friends of PAC. I mean, without Friends of PAC, you guys would be in big trouble.
Oh, we'd be in huge trouble.
Yeah.
They do so much for us, and we're really grateful. And events like this help us and help them. Help us more to provide more to the community, which is great.
Let's see if we can get more than the 30,000 people who came
right?
out to watch last year. I mean, this is turning into be a big deal.
It is a big deal, right? So if you're not walking, you can also come and just watch as a spectator. And you can either do it on the street, or they have, this year they have, Bill, you're going to like this, the VIP lounge.
Oh.
And it's at Corbett's. If you're not, have you seen Corbett's? It's a pickleball bar area. So mm-hmm. they have a huge pickleball courts.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I don't play pickleball, so I don't know exactly.
I don't either.
But it's downstairs, and they have this big balcony that will overlook the, I think it's off 6th Ave, uh-huh. I think, that where the parade will walk by. So you get a perfect view, and there'll be drinks and treats and all kinds of stuff. So that's also a great way to watch,
have
too.
Have you thought about a Grand Marshal pet for the parade?
So we have a Grand Marshal, and we thought about a pet. One year we did have a pet. I don't believe this year we did a pet, though. But
yeah, something to think about.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, on a more difficult note, the situation at the shelter at PAC right now is not good when it comes to dogs.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're at 518 dogs as of this morning.
That's a lot. You're way over what you would like to be.
Yeah, we're about 150 dogs over capacity. Not critical capacity, but just normal capacity. Mm-hmm. And we do normally, February is, we see more dogs come in because it's raining out and
sure.
dogs escape out, and it's cold and people are more worried about them being outside. But on the other hand, we also see adoptions and fosters slow because it's cold and rainy out, mm-hmm. and people don't necessarily want to leave their house.
Leave the home to come over to
Yeah, I like to watch Netflix all day on a cold, rainy Saturday.
Yeah.
So we're pretty smashed right now, and we've got some dogs on 5-day deadlines. They need to get out of the shelter within the next 5 days for us to not euthanize. But every time we ask the community for help, our community always steps up and helps us. So I'm confident that this week, it's nice and sunny all week, so people will want to get out, that they'll come down, and whether they foster or adopt or reclaim their pets. If they've lost their pets, come on down. In most cases, reclaim fees are waived. So either of those things. And then, of course, if you find a pet, just looking for the owner is so helpful. Instead of immediately bringing it to pack, walk the neighborhood, ask people if they know the dog, look for open gates that might have gotten blown open, or spots where dogs have dug out, so we can get those pets back home.
Maybe half the time you would find the animal. I mean, the owner.
So they have an 80% chance.
80%?
Yep, of finding the owner if you just walk the neighborhood and then use Petco Love Lost, which is our reporting system. They have an 80% chance of getting back home, as opposed to a 20% chance or less if they come into the shelter.
Mm-hmm. Get the put some identification on your animal.
Absolutely. Invisible ID tags. Friends of Pack has made it possible for us to give visible ID tags for free to anybody that comes into the shelter. You don't have to bring your dog. Just come on down. Tell us your name. We'll put that in the engraver for as many dogs as you've got. You know, that is the number one way to get your pet back home. It's the way you should be to be a good neighbor, right? We all want to be good neighbors.
Sure.
Don't make your neighbor who finds your dog, because accidents happen, drive all the way to Pack, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have them look at the number, text you, let them know, hey, buddy just got out.
Yeah.
Can I put him back in your yard, right?
Yeah.
Come get a visible ID tag for free. And if you've got a microchip, those are great too. Make sure that they're registered and the information is correct. So many times, it's actually 50% of the dogs that come in with microchips, their information isn't correct.
Oh, really?
So even though we're contacting people, it's the wrong information.
On the website, do you have pictures of pretty much all the animals, including those that are on the critical list, so to speak?
Yep.
I mean, we don't want, hopefully, to have any animals euthanized, but are those pictures up as well?
Absolutely.
So people can step up.
Absolutely. Yep. You can go to our PEMA.gov /animal care to the adopt section, and that tells you how to adopt or foster. There's also information there to see the urgent placement list.
The urgent
you can
list.
See
yes.
all the dogs that are at risk, and we update that weekly. And as they go out to foster or adoption, we update that as well. And then there's also a page where you can see any stray pets. So you can look there. But the easiest way to look, if you're looking for your stray pet, go to Petco Love Lost, put in a picture of your dog, and it'll show if it's in the shelter. And you just hit a little button, say,
that's
my dog. Has
that visual identification capability.
It
can match it up right away.
Yeah, it's magical.
Yeah. Any cats available?
Of course. We always have cats, too. Yeah.
Yes.
It's not. We talk about dogs a lot. But
I know.
We're not just for dogs. We're for cats, too. But we've got, about 100 cats in the shelter. They're not all available for adoption. We've got quite a few left from a cruelty case we took in about a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
They're still moving through some medical clearing. But we've got lots of cats as well that would love to go home for a foster, a lot with medical needs that just need some time to get better, and then lots that are ready to be adopted as well.
If someone wants to foster, you can do it for a couple of days, a week, or what?
Yeah, for dogs, it can be as overnight. Just come in, take a dog overnight, take them for a hike for the afternoon, or for a weekend, take them for a getaway, or longer. You can, a lot of times people will take them for a couple
days. Give them a spa day.
Yeah, give them a spa day. Just give them a little time to relax. Cats aren't as easy as dogs, so they like to go home for longer periods of time.
You know, you've had a wonderful success story getting back to putting animals down. I think when you came, it was not real. It was kind of grim.
Yeah, well, they'd done a lot of work prior to me coming to Pack. And
maybe over the last 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, over the last decade, we've really seen the community step up and support us, right? We can't be a life-saving shelter without the community. And the community time and time again says, we want you to be life-saving. So we've remained at, there's that no-kill, quote-unquote, benchmark of saving 90% of the animals that come into the shelter. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to maintain that since, I think, 2018. Mm-hmm. We've been able to maintain that rate, which is really incredible considering we're such a large shelter. We have such a high poverty level here in Pima County. We have such a low access to veterinary care in Pima County. We've got a lot of things going against us, but we've got our community, which is the most important thing going for us.
It is a very animal-loving community.
Absolutely.
I know that. Monica Dangler, thank you very much. And again, the website is your website.
pima.gov/Pima Animal Care.
Tucson Subaru Pets of Pima Parade and Friends of PAC Festival is coming up this Sunday, 10 o'clock. Going to be a lot of fun. Everybody's invited.
Absolutely. Hope to see you guys there.
And again, the location of the parade?
It is downtown Historic Fourth.
Okay. All right, Monica, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, take a break right here. Mark Sykes from the Planetary Science Institute coming up next.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great getaway. It's only about a 3-hour drive, a lot to do over there, a lot of outdoor activities, some really cool architecture. The Victorian architecture in historic Silver City is worth the trip alone. Check out their website. Visit southwestnewmexico.org before you make the, it's about 3-hour drive east of Tucson. Not too bad at all. Great getaway. On the website, what to do, where to stay, and some great places to eat as well, where the question always arises in New Mexico when you're dealing with, is it red or green? Do I want the red chili or green chili? Which is going to be warm, hotter, or whatever? You never know. Ask your server, is it hot or is it mild? Anyway, coming up right now, Dr. Mark Sykes. How do I segue out of that, Mark? I tell you, Mark Sykes, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, for more than a half a century, a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Mark Sykes has a one of his many areas of research has been the planet Pluto. I don't know if you know this, Mark, but there's a lawmaker up in Phoenix trying to get Pluto named as Arizona's official state planet.
As well it should be. After all, it was discovered here.
It was. Flagstaff is the connection, right?
Yeah,
you want to tell our listeners quickly about the connection?
Percival Lowell was looking for, you know, a planet out there that was predicted because of the perturbations on Neptune and Uranus, and but never found it. Clyde Tombaugh was hired to look for it, and by gosh, he found it. And back around 1930 or so, and it was thought at that time to be about the size of the Earth because of these gravitational perturbations that were going on. But it turned out that that was just bad math. and over time, Pluto got smaller and smaller and smaller, but it was still a planet.
And that's where there, over the years, there's been this, how do we characterize planets? And there's this controversy over Pluto. Maybe it's not really a planet.
Well, you know, Brian Marsden would say, well, gosh, if it's no bigger than an asteroid, then it shouldn't be a planet. Well, it is actually bigger than a lot bigger than an asteroid, but where do you draw the line? And some people said, well, there should only be 8 planets, and so that was the official position of the International Astronomical Union. And of course, now we have thousands of planets, in our own solar system around the stars. But I was an advocate for what I call the geophysical definition, where if it's big enough to be round by its own gravity, that's a planet, because that's when geology turns on. And so, you know, what are we looking for at other worlds? We're looking for a lot of processes we see here at home. And so that's when we can start seeing these processes on other worlds.
Like a volcano.
Like a volcano, like tidal forces or, plates and stuff. And you can have atmospheric processes. And from my standpoint, you don't even have to be orbiting the sun. You could be orbiting another planet. You could be a binary planet like Pluto and Charon. Or you could be a rogue planet, as we see more and more examples of these guys out in between the stars.
The characterization of planets will be the focus of an event coming up in Houston. I think you were one of the organizers of this, right? What's that all about?
Well, it's called
it's next week, I think, right?
I hope it's a little longer than that. I think it's 9 days because I need time to make my travel arrangements. It's a characterization of planets in the solar system and galaxy. And because, like I said, we've got thousands of other solar systems now that we're starting to study. And a large range of architectures, large range of planet sizes, things orbiting very close to stars, you know, further away. There is just such a huge diversity of worlds out there that, again, when we're looking for processes similar to what we see here in our home world, we find them in many other places in the galaxy now.
And early thinking was, oh, my gosh, Pluto's is just this like an ice giant ice cube, right? But there's a lot going on. Something like a super volcano, maybe?
Yes.
How's that?
Pluto is its rocky surface is made out of water ice and nitrogen ice. It's got oceans underneath its surface, warm enough for water to melt. And this has resulted in evidence of some cryovolcanism on Pluto, where instead of, you know, lava coming out that's silicic, it's water. And so there's this crater on Pluto. And again, most of the craters there are you know, nitrogen, you know, methane, and where it seemed to have erupted a large amount of water, which would have come from the interior. And so, yeah, so volcanic processes as well.
And one of the areas that of your research in Pluto was the temperature of Pluto. Can I dare ask how cold is cold?
Oh, it's pretty cold. It's yeah.
Do I need my down jacket?
It could be like, you know, 60 degrees.
Down vest won't work.
Degrees. Back when I was trying to figure out its temperature, it was thought to be the same temperature all over the world because it has an atmosphere.
It thought that the
atmosphere made the temperature uniform, but it wasn't. So it was colder at the poles and warmer at the equator, just like other places we know.
But even warm at their equator is not really warm. Quickly, there was news about Saturn since we last saw you. What's that about?
Well, Saturn's got a small moon named Mimas, which is
M-I-M-A-S.
M-I-M-A-S. And it's got a big crater on it. Looks like the Death Star. But some recent work indicated that Mimas has an ocean under its surface. Now, to make that crater that makes it look like the Death Star, it couldn't have had an ocean in there because the crust would have been too thin. But it's the way it's moving in its orbit can only be explained by having an ocean underneath its surface. But it seems as though the ocean has only been there for about 25 million years. And so because of gravitational tugging by other worlds that or other satellites that caused it to shift in its eccentricity a bit, and then you get tidal dissipation with Saturn and stuff, and it heated up the interior enough to cause this ocean. But it's also really interesting to think about oceans 25 million years old. So, you know, it's at the blink of the eye in the age of the solar system. And so there's a lot more going on underneath the surfaces of a lot of satellites.
Well, yeah, that's my next question. What is the deal with all these subsurface oceans?
Some of them have been around forever, like Ceres, the largest asteroid, also a minor planet or a dwarf planet in the asteroid belt. The Dawn mission made measurements which indicated that it's got a subsurface ocean in cryovolcanism. Pluto has an ocean underneath its surface. Anything that's kind of that big has retained enough heat from the time of its formation that it's got, if it's an icy, rocky body, it's got a subsurface ocean. Titan's got a subsurface ocean.
Mars?
Mars may have subsurface water, you know, aquifers, and that's something that's being explored today. They're primarily subsurface oceans, if you will, you know, global type things, are primarily with objects with a lot of ice. So
that would not be maybe the planet Venus then.
No. It's thought that Venus had an ocean on its surface like Earth in the past, and then it got all wiped out by that huge volcanism that spread magma across the surface.
Think of all the new stuff we've learned during your career.
Oh my gosh. We were a lonely place when I started out in this business.
We've got the solar system. We have all these really cool neighbors, right? All right. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. PSI.edu is the website for the Planetary Science Institute. We'll see you next month. Thanks, Mark. All right. On behalf of Dr. Mark Sykes and John, engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.